Brilliant.
Thanks for coming, everybody. Pretty special day for the club. I'll hand over to David and Keith.
Thank you guys for coming today. It is a really historic day for Port Adelaide. For the first time since 2007, we're announcing a profit of $211,000. Now, this follows a $2.5 million loss last year, so it's roughly a $2.8 million turnaround in the last 12 months. And in the last 3 years, it's a $2.6 million business turnaround, or $10.6 million business turnaround since the new board came on board and basically Keith started as well. For us, it's a really remarkable achievement and a really remarkable result for our members as well and supporters. You remember 3 years ago, we were questioned on financial viability, we were questioned on whether we should be in the competition, we were questioned on whether Adelaide could sustain two AFL clubs. And a result like this in a three-year performance really does underpin the fact that Port Adelaide is sustainable, it's competitive and has a really bright and aggressive future. Rather than just give up 3 years ago, the Port Adelaide community has done a remarkable job. The Port Adelaide community 3 years ago basically said, stuff it, we're going to prove the doomsayers wrong and we're going to do something about this club. And what they've done is just extraordinary. They've signed up as members and we've seen membership go from 36,000 in 2012 to just under 60,000 for this last year under AFL audited membership figures. For the first time in our history, we became the biggest club in South Australia in terms of membership. Members have come to games. Even though we didn't make the finals, and it was a really disappointing year on field that we didn't make the finals, our members and supporters still turned up. Average of 42,000-43,000 per home game. 3 years ago, it was 19,000. According to AFL Research, Port Adelaide supporters are the most engaged of any club in the AFL in terms of personal involvement, in terms of passion, in terms of connection with their team. We're number one, and that's according to AFL statistics. So it's fair to say the Port Adelaide community really got behind this club and sparked a seismic change in football, not only for this club, but for footy in South Australia and also the AFL nationally. And because of that seismic change, and thanks to our members for producing that, our corporate sponsors also came on board and felt that seismic change. And our corporate revenue for the last 12 months is up 20%. It's more than doubled in the last 3 years. And Port Adelaide, it really enjoys great support from the corporate community with a range of international, national and South Australian great brands supporting this club, and we really do thank the corporate sponsors for that. Of course, our move to Adelaide Oval has proved to be a standout success, both financially and with our community too. We're also very aware of our responsibility to South Australian football and the broader community. Remember, our mission statement is to win premierships and make our community proud. We're a foundation member of the SANFL and we have a responsibility to footy in this state and also the community. In this result, we paid $1 million to the SANFL directly in cash, and also we've invested another $500,000 in the Magpies, our academy teams, our Aboriginal academy, which I hope you've been following their trip to China, which has been pretty special. On top of that, Power Community, with our general community programs in the South Australian community, we've invested another $1.5 million this year. So we're very much a club, always have been, that's community-minded, is South Australian footy-minded as well. Our China program took enormous steps this year, and that's been one of the highlights for us. Also, the first pilot program of our academy for high-performance coaches was a huge success. Half of the students came from overseas, so little Port Adelaide became an exporter in the knowledge industry, and that's very exciting going forward for us. So, as you can see, incredibly disappointed on not making the finals. nothing annoyed me more than being told, gee, you're the best team outside the eight. My reply was always, I wish I was the bloody best team in the eight. But the club has really kicked a lot of goals off the field this year, and we are sustainable, we are profitable, and we see that continuing for the foreseeable future. So, first profit since 2007. We've come a long way in 3 years. Happy to take any questions.
So, Dave, you're now a very, very safe AFL club, do you believe?
Look, one of the key objectives was to build a sustainable financial model, and we believe we've achieved that. Our $211,000 profit is after depreciation as well, I should stress. A lot of clubs sort of announce different ways of accounting for it. We believe that that's best practice accounting and the most transparent. So from a trading point of view, we've done well. And it's really great credit to Keith and his team. Everybody just comes together, the community team, the corporate team, Matty Richardson with memberships. We sit at 38,000, I think, members today. So we're well ahead of last year. Our members are just extraordinary in their passion. They backed us all the way. They haven't walked away from it. They've said, OK, we're going to come for the journey and help it. It's terrific.
Is it fair to say that even though you talk about the local community, that becoming more national has been a big reason for your turnaround?
There's no... Look, right from the very start, Keith and I always talked about that we play on a national stadium in a national competition. And to be sustainable, you've got to play in a national corporate competition as well. And we've seriously targeted that, and that's why you see some great Australian brands that operate in South Australia as well. But we've been able to attract the confidence of those big national and international companies who have bought into our vision, bought into our community, Keith, would be fair to say. A good big part of it, particularly the Energy Australias and the Renaults and the 4 and 20, love our community stuff that sets us apart.
Yeah, I think the key to this has been the ability to appeal on a national level without... walking away from the essence of the club, which is very much rooted in its local community. And yep. That's a very appealing trait that, for corporate Australia. And we think that we have a bigger job to do in growing nationally. For example, we're taking our community programs far and wide. We think that the growth that we're seeing of the brand and our footprint around Australia as certainly growing with a lot more to go. We think it's really important without losing the sense of local community.
Yep.
I think that's important.
I know there's plenty of people that have made this result possible, but where do you both sort of rate this in terms of career achievements?
I love building businesses. I love this club. My dad used to play for it. I've lived in Sydney a long time, and I'd forgotten how much this club means to so many people. It is extraordinarily important in so many lives, not only kids but entire families. And they've been so giving and so supportive that that's been the magic for me. And it's this sense of community. Keith and I are both incredibly passionate about it, that good things come out of footy clubs and the best things come out of Port Adelaide, not only on the field, but also in the community space as well. And that's why we really do take seriously. A lot of people talk about, relationships with SANFL and all that sort of stuff. We don't quibble at all about paying $1 million a year in there. We think that's our responsibility for that local competition. And that's why we love our academy teams. That's why we love our Aboriginal academy team and the experience they've had in China. And the fact that, one of our leading academy players got picked up in the first round of the draft was terrific. That's what we do. That's part of the DNA.
Sorry, David touched on being frustrated with not being in the finals. You're an attractive brand of footy. Got you a bit more recognition on the national stage. When you reviewed last year, what did you learn from a footy point of view?
it's not easy to win. You know, that you can take nothing for granted. I think that you know, it's very easy to talk about complacency and getting ahead of yourselves. We don't think that happened at all. What we think was that we probably tried a little bit too hard in the end and made perhaps some of the instructions to the players a little bit complex, and we maybe drifted away from those things that had made us successful the year before. So as you raise the level of sophistication, sometimes part of that is about stripping it back to be the master of less things, but more important things. And I reckon that clarity and simplicity of message is going to be really key.
Yeah, it was a highlight for me. Footy was a low light and a highlight. We didn't get in the finals. And as I said, it annoyed me, everyone saying you're the best team out of the eight. The other thing that annoyed me were people saying, oh, this is your West Coast year. This is what happened to West Coast last year. And I kept reminding them that, hey, there are a lot of other teams that didn't make the final last year and still didn't this year, but West Coast did something about it. And the thing I'm really proudest of is how our football department analysed and reviewed the disappointments, owned the disappointment, didn't blame anyone else, worked through the issues that had fallen off and then rectified it, and we won seven of the last nine games. A lot of clubs will say, you know, season's finished, why give it 100%? Our guys gave it 100% right up to the very end, and that shows character. And for me, we learnt a lot with that, and will hold us in good stead.
Did they make a few errors early in the season then, the footy department?
You know, I think that we would say that we got away pretty well, you know, at the start of the year, and we handled that first 5 weeks. Did we make errors? I think we learned a lot of lessons about the structure of the coaching group. You know, when you think about it, we went from Alan Richardson, Phil Walsh, into Michael Voss, and Josh Carr, and so that. You can't underestimate that there's a shift that's going on with the coaching group. So that we had to learn about that. The playing group, you know, I think, as I said, may have, perhaps forgotten what the fundamentals to Port Adelaide winning footy look like at certain stages. But as David said, there was an adjustment made, and we believe that by the end of the season that we were back.
Didn't get up.
Yeah, you know, playing footy the way we should. In the end, we weren't good enough at the end of the year to get into the finals, and you know, we take that on the chin and we move on.
A lot of people say your premiership window is open. Is there a sense of urgency that you need to make it count for something? Do the players and the club have the patience to build the program, or does it need to happen?
I don't think we talk about premiership windows. We talk about, you know, we're here to win premierships and make our community proud every single year, whether a supposed window is open or not. You know, we're confident in our football department. It's well funded. Over the last 3 years, we've put an extra $5 million into the football department, so it's fully resourced to really give them every opportunity to succeed. And that's what we need to do as a board and as a club. Footy's our main focus.
Can you from your point of view, we've quite been patient.
Yeah, I think we've been very patient. We've been methodical. I think I've said many times that the plan that was presented by the football department to me in 2012, we're still on that plan, and a lot of that work was being done before Ken Hinckley started. Jason Cripps had a blueprint for the list development process, which we think has been really well executed, and we arrive at a point where we believe that the list is strong. It's got nice depth. It's where we want it to be. We think we've improved the coaching structure this year, you know, with the addition of Nathan and Chad coming in, and Gary going back into the coaching box. So we're constantly tweaking that. But whether we're good enough, you know, this is a tough competition. You know, every single club is thinking exactly the same way. It's an elite competition. We believe that we are well prepared to have a shot at 2016, and as we were in 2015. So we'll just take it as it comes and do our absolute best. That's really where we're at.
What about off field? Looking ahead, what's the biggest challenge to
be placed in the club? Look, we're pretty well set up with the key pillars that we'll keep building. China is a big focus for it from a commercial point of view. We've made big commitments there already. It's not simply a matter of, you know, flying in, trying to pick up a sponsor. We sponsor the local Chinese team or the national team. We sponsor the Southern China AFL team competition. AusKick we sponsor up there. We have business lunches for right through Hong Kong. We're expanding those into other capital cities in the next 12 months. So China is a big focus for us. And this Academy for High Performance Coaches, a joint venture with UniSA, I think is just so us. It's cutting edge. It is best practice globally, which we saw in the little pilot program. Half the students from overseas were from big professional sports organisations. We'll do a few more of those next year, and then the year after will be a fully-fledged master's program in high-performance coaching and sports science. So we see that as a really big opportunity. And on the corporate front, we've got a number of big signings that will come up just before or after Christmas.
Keith, looking at a $10 million turnaround in 3 years, just how much of that do you put down to the move to Adelaide Oval?
The Adelaide Oval was significant in that it the first thing it did was created real urgency to make the decisions that were required to affect change. You know, if you recall, we spoke about getting to Adelaide Oval with momentum. We were able to do that on the back of our investment in football and Ken Hector coming in, and we accelerated on field. So we got into Adelaide Oval in good shape and playing well. And the excitement for our members of getting to that new great new venue with a side that was competitive was really compelling. So that happened. The financial model that sits behind it is working as we expected it to. It took 4 years to build, so you know, thankfully it's working as we thought it might. And so that underpins the financial sustainability of the Footy Club going forward, so long as we continue to perform. And so you just can't sit there and say, oh, it's all done. It relies on people going to the game and the footy program continue to perform well. But yes, you know, it has been what it enabled us to change the narrative of the football club. It gave us something to point to when things were a bit dire, some hope to look at. You know, it was a light on the hill, but then the club had to activate behind that, and I think we did that pretty well.
And I think the fact we still averaged 43,000 home game attendance and not made the finals shows you how resilient our members and supporters are in terms of going to Adelaide Oval. There was lots of talk about after the first year, the honeymoon would be over, and we were very much aware of that. So that's why we put a lot of effort into the game day presentation. That's why we put a lot of effort into the activations. Keith's game day team, the game day village, is a really important part of the DNA of our members, to meet there beforehand and family groups, and we really don't think there is a honeymoon period. As far as our members are concerned, it's like going home, and I think that will really underpin us going forward, because the financial model, as Keith was saying, yeah, is so much better than Footy Park.
So when can we expect Port to play some sort of game in China, perhaps, or the pre-season game?
The AFL is really open to that idea. The issue is grounds, infrastructure, and we need to do a little bit more work. But that gate is open if we are able to set it up the right way. But because football is not a core, you know, sort of activity over in China, that getting the grounds right is the biggest issue. But we think that's overcomeable.
Are they too small at the moment?
They're too small. Yeah. So it's just, they're soccer pitches. And,
It would be fair to say we would love to do it in the NAB Cup 2017, is to play a game in China.
Yeah. So we're talking finances. The AFL Players Association met yesterday, and the key plank of their negotiations with the AFL is to get a fixed percentage of the total AFL revenue, somewhere in the range of 25-26%, which is a pay rise. Do you have a view, one way or the other?
And my view is players are a really important stakeholder in this game, and they've got to be rewarded fairly. Definition of fair is the one that's going to be argued about. I think the Players Association, though, it would help their cause if they were able to explain what they're doing for player welfare into the future as well, how they could partner with clubs, which we tend to sort of fulfil all those player welfare commitments at the moment. You know, any part of an increase in revenue, what amount of that goes into player welfare rather than the clubs just carry that. So I think there's a lot to discuss about it, but the players have got to be paid fairly, and if there's an increase in quid across the range, they've got to be a stakeholder in it.
I think the other factor that really has to be considered strongly is club health. And you know, I think it's been widely reported that there are many AFL clubs who are struggling at the moment, and the game sits on the club's ability to remain, you know, financially viable and strong, so they continue to invest in players and all the programs that go around that. So I think that this is a negotiation that has to factor in all of those things, the state of the game and grassroots. I think that's being considered. Players are in that mix, but also club health, and the job that we do probably doesn't get the sort of coverage that the other aspects do, and I think it's really important that it does, because I can tell you if the game has to continue to hold up clubs that are struggling financially because the structures are not right, it'll very quickly retard all of our progress, and that's not what we want.
Last couple of guys.
So, Keith, just following on from that, the NRL broadcast, you were over 150% of the salary cap. Is that something you'd like to
make of the NRL? Well, it's a really interesting concept. I need to look at it more closely, and we will as an industry, I'm sure. But certainly the principle of it is interesting. All I would say is that the club's overall health, competition-wide, is a factor that needs to be fixed as part of this next media rights distribution, I believe.
David, what does the conversation sound like at the end of the season if you haven't achieved on-field targets similar to last year?
We'd be disappointed again. But successful footy clubs are all about stability. Stability at board level, stability at executive level, and also in the football department. We have enormous faith in Ken and the coaching staff. We've got enormous faith in our leadership group, our on-field leadership group. And I'd be very surprised if they didn't respond to the disappointments of this year.
Thanks, guys.